Hi, guys. So if you don't know me, I'm Julia. I have so many memories growing up here. I remember one time when my family and I were sitting in church waiting for it to start. Pastor Bob comes up to us and asks me, "Hey, would you like to share some things about yourself so the congregation can get a feel of what Mary was like?" And of course, I'm shy, so I was a bit hesitant, but in the end, I did it. I've gone to this church for as long as I can remember. Now, some of you might be wondering why I chose to preach. When we were in youth group and Brett really wanted someone to do it, I didn't speak up but kept eye contact with Brett. He finally asked me to do it and I was a bit shy, but I also had this urge inside me almost telling me to do it. It was almost as if this voice inside me was the Holy Spirit telling me to do it. All right, enough about me and let's see how this goes. So the scripture I chose for this morning was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 19. If you'd like to follow along in the Red Pew Bibles, turn to page 181. I chose these verses because I saw them on the front of my Bible cover, read the chapter, and those verses just really stuck out to me.
Morning. If you follow along in 2 Corinthians on page 181 in the Second Testament, in chapter 5, verses 15 through 19, "And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a point of view. We know him no longer in that way, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away, see, everything has become new. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, we're reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and trusting the message of reconciliation to us." That's the first scripture reading.
So the whole main point of these verses is that Jesus reconciles us to God. And of course, Pastor Bob had to tell me what reconciles meant. Haha, whoops. Just in case any of you don't know, reconciles means two things that have been separated being brought back together again. So in case you haven't figured it out yet, the two things that have been separated is us and God. God wanted us so badly that he sent down Jesus to spread the word about him and bring us back together again. A good example of how badly God wants us is the story of the prodigal son, where he left home with his inheritance and spent all his wealth on wild living and frivolous things. And as long as he was wealthy, he had friends. But one day he spent all of his money and had to work for a pig owner. He finally decided to return home, for he realized his father's servants were being better treated than he was. So he returned home, and his father rejoiced and threw a party, for his son was home. This story is an example of how much God loves us and how much he wants us. We are the thing that has been separated from God. Another example is the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. If you'd like to follow along in the Red Pew Bible, turn to page 78. Parable of the lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and goes after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This all means he will not give up on us. We all matter and are loved by him. In the scripture that I chose in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that God became Jesus and reconciled us to himself. In the beginning verses, we thought that if someone died for us, then we have died. That is how much the Lord's love compels us. In verse 15, it means that when he died and rose again, that anyone who lives won't live for themselves anymore, for him, Jesus who died for all, God who created us. Verse 16 says that we had regarded each other by who we are, by what we wear, and more. Like in sixth grade, people judge each other by who they are, if they're rich or not, if what like how they style their hair, what clothes they wear, their shoes. But we no longer do so. But we once regarded the Lord in this way, but we also do this no longer. So in verse 16, if we don't regard people in a worldly point of view, we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. This gift is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So what affects us today of what Jesus did then? Well, without Jesus, we were drifting away from God, but Jesus Christ brought us back together again. God wants to make sure that we work equally hard so that there is no gap or separation between us. God loves us so much that he never wants to lose us, no matter how many mistakes we make. And he sent down Christ to make sure that we got brought back together again. This is how much God loves us. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for guiding me to choose these verses. I hope that everyone in the congregation realizes how much you love us and never want us to be separated from you. Amen.
All right. Hi, y'all. I'm Greta Bennett, and I will be preaching today. A lot of you probably don't recognize me because I don't typically go to the Sunday services, but I'm really involved in the youth group, and I've gone on a bunch of the missions trips. And when Brett approached us all asking if any of us wanted to preach, I was really thinking about it for a while since my friend Claire Warner, a bunch of you probably know her, she preached last year. And a while back, I was watching a Liberty Convo, which is the sermon series that a bunch of college students go to when they're at Liberty University, which is the biggest Christian college in the world. And a preacher touched on this during one of them, and I just felt like it was put on my heart to preach on it as well. And what I'm preaching on today is Matthew 5, 7 through 11, the Beatitudes.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
All right, so I will be going through each verse by verse, telling you how completely opposite what the world is trying to tell us is from what the Bible and the Beatitudes are saying. All right, so the first part. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When someone's like really sad and stuff like that, most people will say, hey, cheer up, it'll be fine. You can be happier. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that as you are poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is yours, which is very strange to think about. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. A lot of people that go through mourning encounter people that say, well, I'm sorry, but get over it because they're dead. And it's actually happened to me. And so when the world tells us that, I'm sorry, they're gone, but you have to keep moving on with your life. But the Bible says that as you mourn, comfort will be yours, as it is a perfectly right thing to do and what you should do. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek, for those of you that don't really know, are those people that are more shy, more reserved, the people that won't really speak up in a crowded room. And the people that the world will tell, you need to gain more confidence and be more outspoken in everything that you do. When The Bible says that as you are meek, the world is yours. That shy person in the corner of the room that no one's talking to, and they're not talking to anybody and not making an effort to do so, the world is theirs. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Something that comes up a lot in school, especially in like health class, is the term instant gratification, in which we search for something that we can have in the here and the now, which will please us now. We don't want to wait for something. We want to have it immediately. And that's what everybody's looking for. But the Bible says, as you hunger and thirst and search for righteousness, you shall gain it. You don't have to find something now because you know it is yours. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. As the presidential election is coming up, a lot of us are paying more attention to politics. And also with, like, wars and stuff that we learn a lot about in school, everybody is taught to show no mercy. Somebody scorns you, you scorn them back. And this is completely opposite, and this is a very common way of thinking, that we should show mercy. Because as we show mercy onto others, mercy is granted onto us. Mercy will not make you weak. Mercy will help you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I'm sure a lot of us have that friend that we consider the pure one or the good one. And these are the people that most people will say, hey, you don't understand this reference. Oh, meh. But the Bible says that the pure in heart are the ones that will see God. And personally, to me, I believe that seeing God is more important than understanding some pop culture reference. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Say you're fighting with a friend and someone comes over and tries to calm everything down. A lot of people would think, oh, this person is a hypocrite. They do not know what they're doing. They're just being stupid. And a lot of people think that because, oh, they're doing this for something, for personal gain or something like that. But the Bible says that the peacemakers are the children of God. And what they're doing is right. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Nowadays, we know a lot of persecution, especially with things going on in the Middle East and all kinds of bad happening in this world. And a lot of people think you're being persecuted, oh, that's because you're just not conforming. You should just go along with what society says and you'll be fine. But the Bible says that as you're persecuted, the kingdom is yours. As you stick up for what you believe in, the kingdom is yours. These verses are very close to my heart because in middle school, I started sixth grade off with a bunch of friends, a huge friend group, and it was really fun for the first bit of the year, but then halfway through the year, I found myself with no friends sitting alone at a lunch table. And I started thinking, wow, friends will just drop you and leave you like trash when they find something new, something shiny. And I started thinking that, and then I started relating that to Jesus and God. Thinking, wow, is this how he will treat me? Will he just drop me? So I also adopted that into my thinking. And I thought that way for a very long time until about eighth grade when I came across these verses. And I realized that's exactly opposite of how Jesus would treat us. He loves us all equally. And yeah, he loved me. And I started to I started to gain that in my thinking, and I started to find my place. But the way that the Bible tells us to live is completely and utterly different from what the world is trying to ingrain in your brain. If we live in accordance to what the scripture says, a lot of people will probably think you're a bit crazy. But we're all messed up in our own special, unique way. So we have to stop trying to act all perfect. Because we have to let our struggles shine through as Jesus comes and takes control of your life and your situation. And then share your story as your testimony. You're blessed for your pain, so stop hiding it. And let God take control of your life. Amen.